Good evening. And once again, I'm Dr. Ron Walker, your instructor for this class that we've been sharing with you in the training center, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy. This evening, we're going to look at chapter number 6 in your books, which talks about important principles for effective prophesying. Now, these principles are extremely important. And so, especially in 2021, where we must endeavor to really flow and be accurate as it pertains to things in the spirit. So let us begin. The scripture confirms that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they operate in a believer through the believer's yielding and through the believer's cooperation. The believer cooperates with the Lord to express what God is saying and in the way God wants it expressed. The human vessel is called to respond and not react to the Holy Spirit. See, we are called to respond to the Holy Spirit, not react. Go ahead. There are important principles in Scripture that help us to get into the operation of gifts when we abide and operate by these principles of Scripture. Then we are operating in the realm of faith, which is also the realm of the Spirit. It takes faith to operate in the realm of the Spirit. Go ahead. Faith pleases God. And faith always brings the desired result. Why? Because faith is simply following apostolic instructions through hearing. Don't forget that. God has chosen the gift of the apostle to open the portals of heaven and to release what he's doing in the earth realm as the other four ministry gifts, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher effectively connects to the apostle. Go ahead. A. The principle of desire. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So these gifts are to be desired. Now, I want to take you to 1 Corinthians 12 for a brief moment here, because we need to take our time in chapter 6 so we can get these important principles for effective prophesying in divine order. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the first verse, and we'll read to the seventh verse, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, Paul said, I will not have you to be ignorant. He says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now watch this. Paul says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So now we can right from the outset see that what Apostle Paul is attempting to do is to deal with how the gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit function in a church setting. See, the Corinthian church was a wild bunch. I know you never heard that before, but you need to understand. You read it, you understand in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul had to tell him, oh, you don't come to church to get drunk. Eat and drink at your house. I'm just trying to tell you, I know the church have never preached these things, but they're in the Bible. So Paul, in this epistle to the Corinthian church, is saying, now, for the proper use of tongues and the message of tongues in the church, we need to deal with this. So no man, watch this, speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by who? The Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. There are diversities of gifts. They're not all the same gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but they all come by that one and self-same Holy Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh in all and all. Now watch this. I want you to pay attention to this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Notice these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit and his gifts. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, with everybody. Read. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Notice, by the same Spirit. To another faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these manifestations of the Spirit worketh by that one and by that selfsame Spirit. Now notice this phrase. Dividing to every man severally as the Spirit wills. So now what we must understand in this teaching for proper use, our important principles for effective prophesying, we got to know that these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they only work through his manifesting them. Are you listening? But he also said he divides to every man several as he will. Now we go back over to 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 because I want you to see something here. Follow after charity. Desire what? Spiritual gifts. So the gifts are not going to function in our lives if we don't desire them. They're not here for decoration. The entire ministry of Jesus was him functioning in the realm of the Spirit. Jesus said, believest thou not that I'm in the Father, St. John 14 and 10, and the Father's in me? He say, the words that I speak, I don't speak of myself. It is my Father. He gives me the words to say. And so when I speak what the Father tell me to speak, now it is my Father that dwelleth in me. He's the one that do the work. So I'm not doing nothing. I'm hearing what the Holy Spirit revealed to me to say from my Father telling him. He tells it to me. And then I function. And trust what I'm telling you. His ministry was about functioning in these manifestations of the Spirit of God. So 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 say, desire spiritual gifts. Keep reading. But notice it say, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. So now he's putting a emphasis on the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of prophecy, prophesying. Read. For he that speaketh, now notice this, for he that speaketh in a what? Unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So if you're speaking in a unknown tongue, you're not speaking unto men, you're speaking unto God. Now, why is that important? Because prophecy in and of itself is a divine utterance that's given unto us directly into our spirits, communicated by the Holy Spirit unto us to speak to the people present on God's behalf. So in essence, prophecy is us speaking a divine utterance on God's behalf. So we can't afford to be out here playing, talking about God told me to tell you. And we're not speaking on God's behalf because he never told us to say it in the first place. And that's why we see so much chaos in the body of Christ and so many broken and hurt people, because people are speaking words that God never told them to say. So prophecy is nothing to play with, and it's nothing to be afraid of, because God said, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. Okay, read that verse again, daughter. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh what? Mysteries. For no man understandeth him. Now, you got to stick with me here, because we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit here. We're not talking about Acts chapter number 2. Which I want you to see something here. Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And notice this, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with what? It said other tongues. Didn't say an unknown tongue. Say they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why am I making this distinction? Because we will discover that gathered at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, there were men from around the globe. Read the text. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. That's a key verse. Out of every nation under heaven. Then it gives a list of them, right? Read. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. And they were what? They were confounded. Because that every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue? I hope you saw that. I hope you saw that. That on the day of Pentecost. Are you listening? They spoke in other tongues, for the people present there heard them speak in their own native tongue. Now, if you're a Bible student, you will know that in Genesis 11, the whole earth had one language, one speech, and nothing was withheld from them because they had one language and one speech, and nothing that they imagined to do could be withheld from them. And God said, let us go down there and confound their language. For if not, nothing they imagined to do could be prevented from them. Now pay attention. And their language was confounded in Genesis 11. You ready for this? They no longer were able to understand each other, so the tower never got built. Why am I showing you that? Because what was lost in Genesis 11 was restored in Acts chapter number 2. Why is that important? Because when we get the language of the Holy Spirit, we will now begin to function as one in the realm of the Spirit. That's very important for where we're headed with this teaching on the important principles for understanding the principles of prophesying. Now we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and read that text again starting at verse number 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. No man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Go ahead. But, why is it saying but? Because he's making a distinction between the one who speaks in what? An unknown tongue. And prophesying. Because prophesying is speaking in a what? Known tongue. And here's another distinction you're going to have to make up in this class. In prophecy, God is initiating what's going to be spoken. And you'll understand this better as we go further. Read. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men, unto edification, and exhortation and comfort. Now, y'all remember in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we dealt with the nine manifestation of the Spirit. We talked about the three gifts that say something, speaking gifts, which were prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. We must understand that in dealing with spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit, that prophecy is a dime, and that diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues is two nickels that are equivalent to a dime. So in essence, we can say that prophecy is equivalent to diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Are you listening? That's important to know, because the author points out vividly in this chapter that speaking in an unknown tongue and praying to God that you may interpret it is not equivalent to prophecy. That must be understood, because speaking in an unknown tongue is not one of the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, or gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to have to go through the rest of this chapter. I hope you get it. So he that prophesied speaketh unto men unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. Read. But the one who speaks in an unknown tongue edified only himself. But he that prophesied edified the church. That's why the apostle put the emphasis on prophesying, prophecy. Now we're going to go back to the book in chapter 6 and pick up with what the author was communicating. Go ahead. We are commanded to desire and to pursue after the gift of prophecy, one of the nine manifestations of the Spirit. The Greek word zelo, which is for desire or covet, it indicates to strive for, to be eager, to be enthusiastic, pursuing after. It is not a wish, as wishes make us passive in nature. A desire causes you to pursue, to go after fervently and enthusiastically. Read. God puts desires into our hearts in order to move us in his ways and in his purposes. If we let or allow God to deal with our hearts and clear out the dross, he will place his desires for us within our hearts. A spiritual passion will propel and push every part of our being forward until it is fully satisfied. A desire that has been put within our hearts by God has all the potential to become a reality when pursued. We should desire to prophesy because it ought to be the most commonly exercised gift in the church. Now, notice this. We understand from studying the scripture, especially in 1 Corinthians 14, that all can learn to prophesy. And women should prophesy as freely as men. The word covet also comes from another Greek word, epithumio, which means to set or to fix our minds upon. Let us have enough earnest desire so as to fix our eyes on prophecy with intense pursuit. B, the principle of proving. All prophecy must go through the principle of proving. Go ahead. Prophecy, as we know it, is an imperfect gift because of the imperfection of the vessel that it flows through. Those who desire to prophesy must be open and they must be willing to allow their prophecies, to be judged. They don't want that in the church today. But all prophecy, all prophetic utterances must be judged by the canon of Scripture. This openness provides a safety measure for both the user of the prophetic gift as well as the hearers. The prophetic gifts of the Spirit must be continuously subjected to the written word of God, which is called the canon of Scripture. Go ahead. If we judge ourselves, we need not be judged. The teachable spirit in a user of the gift will reflect humility and openness to acknowledge the final authority of the written word. Only the prophecy of Scripture is infallible. Hold that. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 20 and 21. I want you to understand that. Only prophecy of Scripture is infallible. 2 Peter 1, 20. Read. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So you got that? Holy men of God in prophecy spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, as the Spirit will. Not a hunch or a munch. Are you listening? It's important to know that. And notice it said no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It didn't say translation. See, in prophecy, we are interpreting what the Spirit is saying. Are you listening? Okay, read the book. See, the principle of responsibility. The possessor of the gift is responsible for its use or its misuse. Notice that, the possessor of the gift. Go ahead. The key to being responsible is to know the truth of 1 Corinthians 14, 32. Read that, 1 Corinthians 14, 32. And the spirit of the prophets, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. It's key to understand that. You got to know that, because all prophecy got to be judged. So we must understand, first of all, that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Why is that important? Because you don't just get to come in a church service and ramble off in tongues. Things got to be done decently and in order. So once again, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 13 and 14, Paul is dealing with the issue of spiritual gifts, how they function in the church. The greatest motive for functioning in the gifts of the Spirit is love, because love will keep you from getting out of sort and off track. You're not trying to draw attention to yourself. You want to move as the Holy Spirit will. Okay, back to the book. The prophets, and not God, is responsible for any disorderly use of the gift. It does not matter how emphatically he may protest that he was up under divine compulsion to prophesy. The user is still responsible for its proper usage in the church setting. Read. Using our will properly. At the new birth, the spirit of man was recreated, and likewise, the will of man was liberated, so that man can choose out of his own free will to follow God. The power of the human will is the strongest asset restored and recreated. created man. In Romans chapter number 7, verses 16 through 20, Paul grieves over his inability to do what he desired to do because of sin working and overriding his will. Now, you know that your will is in your soul. It's a part of your soul, your mind, your will, feelings, emotions, your desires. Go ahead. And Philippians, the second chapter, verses 12 and 13, Paul triumphantly acknowledged that it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. Hold that. Turn to Romans 7:25. Romans 7:25. Because Paul said, I need to be delivered out of this state of the thing I desire to do. That's not what I'm doing. The thing that I do not desire to do, that's what I'm doing. So I have concluded that if I desire to do that which I'm not doing, you listening? Or if I do something that I don't want to do, then it's no longer I that's doing it, but it's the sin principle that's working in me. But he comes back and clarified and say, no, not in me. That's in my flesh. For I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We as believers must understand that this physical temple expresses what's going on in our soul. So in Romans 7:25, watch what Paul say. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now watch what he said. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So Paul said, if I'm going to be victorious over this situation, I got to trust the law of God in my mind. I got to develop my soul to get renewed to God's word so I can begin to desire. See, God, through his word, puts his desires in our hearts. Yeah, that's how God get what he desires into this earth realm, by putting it into the hearts of men and women. Okay, back to the book. Every born again, spirit-filled believer have the power of free choice to do as he wills as a person. It is in knowing this authority invested in us that makes us the responsible users of the gifts. Thus, in the operation of gifts, the will of man is engaged. Number two, our emotions must be disciplined. Negative responses to the given word can produce negative emotional buildup in the user. This is especially so if the user receives a word of correction. That is important. We got to learn how to receive a word of correction by responding properly and appropriately, because if you react negative, it's going to send waves throughout the spirit realm, especially in that atmosphere of the people present. Go ahead. He must stay clear from expressing his state of emotional unrest, but bring forth only that which expresses the feelings of God. Do y'all know what God said in his word? Whom the Father loves, he corrects. So if we get that in our, if we get our minds to be renewed to that, we won't struggle if a corrective word comes. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead. Number three, our bodies ought to be buffeted. Our physical body must learn to be in total subjection to the spirit. We must learn to bring every distracting physical manifestation under control so as not to be a hindrance to the people. Remember, gifts were given to you for the building up or the edifying of the body of Christ, which is the church. Every obvious spiritual manifestation, physical manifestation that could distract and retard the responses of the people receiving ministry must be brought under subjection. There are some physical manifestations to a heightened anointing which are not obvious, like the burning sensation of the heart, the tingling sensation, the heat or cold waves, the feeling of electric waves, and etc. The anointing always comes or shows up for a divine purpose. Do not set your mind upon these physical manifestations and become self-conscious, but keep your mind about the spirit, that the anointing do the work. Let the anointing do the work. Don't come or don't become so focused on these physical manifestations that we put more of a premium on them than on the anointing that's present to do the work. The suppression or release of the gift is also left to the responsibility of the possessor. The possessor of the gift must wait upon his gifting, develop them, and bring them to maturity. We'll see y'all next week.